You're listening to Eureka, a Monocle 24. Irish entrepreneur Andrew Lynch is co-founder and COO of Huckletree, one of London's fastest growing co-working startups. This week, Andrew shares the Huckletree story.
I kind of started off life in Ireland growing up kind of the early 2000s. Obviously, property was a pretty big thing at that point. And I could see kind of guys in property and expanding kind of overseas, and the fact that, you know, that property side of things was quite a tangible thing, you know, whether it was a house or a building. And from a design perspective, I kind of always had an eye for that. So I kind of pushed that quite a bit, and whether I wanted to go into architecture or the more kind of commercial side of it. And kind of by 2006, 2007, I was looking at the more commercial side of it and kind of development and how, you know, projects get off the ground. And that kind of led me into what I did in university, which was really focused on construction development, economics, stuff like that. So in Ireland at that time, I mean, you could move into that, you know, position. However, in 2008, 2009, anyone with any knowledge of Irish property markets knows that around that time, kind of all over the world, it was a pretty bad time for property. I think one of the quotes I remember when we graduated in 2009 was our professor telling us we had an extremely transferable degree. That's the last thing you want to hear after spending 4 years studying something in detail, you know. I left Dublin then in 2010, 2011, came over here to London to do a master's. I think the focus then was to scratch that entrepreneurial itch, so to speak. I knew I needed pretty solid experience, so worked with a couple of big investment houses for a couple of years, and 3 or 4 years later I kind of had the opportunity to stick my head above the parapet, so to speak, and see what else was out there outside of the corporate world. I met my future co-founder Gabby, the CEO of Huckletree, through actually her husband, who is a venture capitalist here in London, and I met him, of course, through my work in investment management. You know, I always got on quite well with him, even kind of, you know, outside of work. And I kind of sat down with him one day and said, I want to take off the tie. I want to, you know, take off the black shoes and do something a little bit different. And we kind of brainstormed a bit. We looked at a couple of businesses that he had contacts with, very, very different, you know, logistics, retail, all kind of early stage businesses. You know, I was in the mood to take a bit of a risk, so I was in a position where I kind of worked for a couple of years, and almost a eureka moment. He said, you should, you know, he's talking about all these other people, and he says, why don't you talk to my wife? You know, she's after starting this really cool co-working business called Huckletree. She's looking for a co-founder, you know, have a chat. So after kind of 5 months of chatting, while I was obviously still working and stuff, we said, look, let's make it official. It wasn't finished. We sat down with our architect, Studio RIG, and we kind of, you know, blank pages on the table, and we just said, look, what can we do with this space that no one's ever done before, that's completely different, that promotes that, you know, collaborative, creative environment that we want all our members to be part of, and also is a cool space. It's just a really cool space to look at. We had a great canvas in the Alpha Beta building because it was already a very, very cool space. And I think the very, very start, every time we were, you know, bringing members in and we were kind of showing them the space, bear in mind it was a building site. So I think, you know, one of the fantastic things about our early members is that they kind of backed us, certainly on that space, in some key kind of cities around Europe. You know, we were looking at Paris, we're still looking at Paris, Berlin, Barcelona. And I think one of the key things that we look for is incredibly beautiful, iconic spaces, and they don't often come up, so we have to be quite, you know, quick, and we have to be quite, you know, we have to go in with our eyes open. One of the things that popped up on the radar kind of early this year was the fact that, you know, Twitter, who have been in this incredibly beautiful building for the last couple of years, were moving out. They were growing it, you know, in Dublin, so we kind of pounced a little bit. You know, the building, it's kind of a 250-year-old building. Obviously, the heritage there from a Dublin perspective was great. There's a kind of a literary feel about the building. Yeats, Joyce, they've all been in the building and done, you know, certain events. It's about 10 minutes away from my parents' house, so that helps a little bit. The way people interact with each other over the last couple of years is changing, it's evolving. The way people want to live their lives, you know, is developing every day. You know, 9 to 5 is gone. And I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, Gabby and I are pretty passionate about is constantly adding that added value. And we always talk about the added value being the business added value, but of course that's only part of life, right? So I think one of the big things that we were able to do in our West London space is carve out a bit of that space for, you know, child-friendly initiatives. And that kind of came in the form of creating a specialized room for parents that have to, for whatever reason, bring their kids into work, you know, on an ad hoc basis. It kind of started from home. Gabby and I have two 20-month-old kids at the moment, both born within 8 days of each other. One thing that it was key is, like, it was happening me a lot. Let down by childcare, and all of a sudden you have a baby on your lap. So we knew firsthand, it was almost like primary research, we knew that this was a problem, and it's something that we want to expand on. You know, there's one element obviously in the West London space. I think we'll always have some element of that, but again, it's about expanding it. It's about, you know, developing out the help, because if you have that help on hand, it just makes your life a little bit easier, and that's what we're about. When you think about it, actually, you stand back, it's entirely logical to build a workspace with those sort of facilities. I mean, you know, I think in 5 or 10 years, it's going to be as common as bike racks and showers. From a productivity perspective, you know, if CEOs and decision makers in businesses want to get the most out of their team and, you know, want their team to stay and be productive, then why wouldn't you put in these facilities? You know, you look back and the kind of corporate world used to put in these, you know, big creches, you know, some big banks put it in. And, you know, I think that's fine, but it lacks a little bit of creativity. It lacks a bit of soul. You know, I'm not saying all of our members are going to bring in all of their kids all the time, but to have that fallback, to have that, you know, reassurance that someone else is thinking about that, it's fantastic. And I think, you know, if I was 4 years ago working with my suit and tie and I was given that ability, I think I would have really appreciated it. I think one of the things that we've realized from a mistake perspective is that the hardest thing to do is hire. You need to make sure you have all your ducks in a row with regards to hiring. You know, it's a people business. We sometimes say that a lot of our team members you know, go on to creative roles, whether in design or even investment. You know, a lot of our membership managers, for example, have aspirations to get into kind of venture capital. So again, that kind of gives you a good insight into how we try and hire, because it's not just about being a person who, you know, manages memberships, for example, or manages events. It's about, you know, the first and foremost thing is always adding value to those businesses and people, whether they're freelancers or bigger businesses as well. Our expansion isn't necessarily predicated on just physical expansion. Obviously, our underlying, you know, presence is necessary. The goal isn't to have X spaces in X years. The goal is to have X members across X geographies in X years. The reason for that is because, you know, if we're about making sure that we have these valid connections that assure, you know, our members can grow positively and successfully, then we need to develop out those relationships. We need to make sure that, you know, we have key ambassadors in all the major cities. We have key, you know, core support from all of our members. And we really want them to buy into what we're about. You know, it's never about just coming in, setting up and using Huckletree as a different space to a coffee shop on the street corner. The best thing about having a child is that it really focuses the mind. And I think before Edie came along, you know, I was always working quite late, long hours over weekends. And what I realized after she came along was that I just wasn't being efficient with my time, working all the hours God gave me. And I realized that actually I could get all of that same work done, you know, before seven or whatever, and get home to give her a bath or give her dinner. It's been a massive eye opener, but I do. That doesn't mean I don't work late, but I do it now from the couch instead of the office.
Thanks to Andrew Lynch from Huckletree. Eureka's back again next Friday, but before then, tune into The Entrepreneurs on Wednesday. The show is edited by Kieran Banerjee. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Thanks for listening.